Amen. I want to talk to you for the next few minutes from the topic or the subject, the blessing principle, the blessing principle. This is our year of manifested faith. Joy is our strength. Increase is our portion. And so I spent 3 weeks on joy, and now I'm going to spend 3 weeks on increase. And how many know you cannot talk about increase without talking about giving, because that is God's plan to increase our lives. Amen. And so I want to talk about the blessing principle, that when I give. So what's the blessing principle, Pastor? That when I give, God moves in my life. Repeat after me. When I give, God moves in my life. See, giving in the kingdom of God is a spiritual principle. And that's why sometimes you see like all this crazy stuff on TikTok and Instagram and them going against the church, because the Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit, because they are spiritually discerned. The only way I can really understand a spiritual principle is once I give my life to Jesus and I begin to come to church and learn the word of God, now I begin to learn these spiritual principles and now they make sense to me. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so because giving is not a game. Giving is not what? That's right, it's not a game, but it is God's plan to prosper our lives. To the degree that we do it on purpose, out of principle, we'll see amazing things happen in our life. In God's economy, seed always produces harvest. Seed always produces what, class? So when we release what's in our hand, God releases what's in his hand, and his hands are bigger than ours. And so I haven't, we're in April, and I haven't taught a lesson yet on giving. It just kind of happened to go that way. And so, you know, we had our big giving day that came and went, and even without me teaching a lesson, we still met our goal. Why? Because we understand giving from a spiritual perspective. You got it? But now, how many know every week we have new people coming, so it's important that Pastor teaches things as it relates to giving and Holy Spirit and faith, because just because you know it doesn't mean they know it. And even though you know it, how many know refreshers are good to increase our faith? Does that make sense? Because faith cometh by and hearing by. All right, so let's establish this principle, this blessing principle, through Scripture, all right? Luke 6 and 38, some of these are going to be very familiar, but they still bring a powerful impact because it's the Word of God. All right, Luke 6 and 38, if you're there, say I'm there. It says, give and it shall be unto. So it says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. So the Lord says, once you give, you got it, there's a way that I'm going to measure it back to you. I'm going to talk to you about that in just a minute. But he says that I will raise up men, that's not gender specific, and women, as the case may be, to be a blessing to you. Once I learned this scripture years ago, my whole prayer was, Lord, make me the man, as the case may be, that you're raising up to be a blessing, right? Because you don't want to get that wrong. You don't want to just be so caught up in somebody doing for me. Because if I'm at a place in life where God has raised me up that I can be such a blessing, that means I'm doing pretty good in life. Does that make sense? All right. So he says, watch this. You got to catch this. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, watch this, it shall be measured to you again. So the way you release it out is the way it's going to come back to you. So the standard you use to give is the standard that God uses to return to you. So that's why it's important that I'm cheerful when I give, not grudgingly or of necessity, right? 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, they'll put it up on the screen. I'm reading out of the Amplified. It says, now remember this, all right? He who sows sparingly will also reap. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap. And with blessings, right? Or and shall be blessed. So he's saying the standard that you use to give is the standard that God uses to return to you. And so 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 talks a lot about attitudes of the heart, right? You know, not grudgingly or of necessity. So anytime I give, I should give with a cheerful heart. If we were to continue to read verses 6 and 7 and 8 and keep going on, he talks about how God loves. He takes pleasure in prizes above other things, and as I think we're going to read it later, actually, is unwilling to abandon or do without a joyful, cheerful, hilarious giver whose heart is in his giving, because giving is a matter of the heart. Does that make sense? You know, and here at Without Limits, we make sure that we teach you the word of God on giving, but then we give you opportunity to give. But we give you opportunity to give in your, watch this, in your own way, so that you don't have to do it begrudgingly, so you don't have to do it with an attitude. Because I just have a question. Did anybody get a call last night from the church house? This is the church house. From the church house saying, when you come tomorrow and pastor gets up for tithes and offerings, you better make sure you come strong. Did you get that? No. Didn't happen. No. When you came through, did one of the ushers say, I know we don't pass buckets, but for you, we going to pass a bucket down your eye? That didn't happen, right? No, that didn't happen, right? No, because we teach the word of God on giving, and I have such a conviction and such a faith that the word of God works in this area of giving that I don't have to, you know, play a game or get you all emotional. I'm going to teach you the word of God, and if you apply it, it's going to work in your life. Does that make sense? Amen. Now, if you're going to clap, clap good. Give me a good. There you go. All right. So your generosity determines your capacity for return. You got it. And in Malachi 3:10, he says, bring ye some of the tithe into the... Okay, that's right. Shoot me down when I'm not talking right. Let's get it straight. All right. Bring ye a little bit of the tithe into the... All right. Okay. All right. Okay. My bad. All right. Look at your neighbor and say, his bad. Okay, all right, let's read it again, all right? All right, depending on your financial situation, that's right, it didn't say any of that, didn't it? It says bring ye, so not some of it, all of it, it's all of my increase, all right? So increase is not just my check, somebody blesses me for my birthday, that's increase, right? I'm driving down the road on my way to work on a Monday morning, not thinking about anything, and my Cash App goes off for $100, and the tag says, love you with the heart, or just wanted to be a blessing, that's increase, right? And so he says, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, that's God's house. Watch this class. He says, and prove. This is the only place in Scripture that God says you can prove him or test him in the area of your giving. He says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there not be room enough to receive it. So he says, I will open you the windows of heaven. Windows of heaven are not literal windows of heaven where, you know, from time to time, you know, when you're doing really good, angels just have buckets of $100 bills and they just drop it out the window and you're walking down the street and you see the window, $100, you see money raining. You understand what I'm saying? Right. No, that's not what that is. The windows of heaven is insight and wisdom and opportunity and inspired ideas, because giving puts me in covenant with God. Giving is more than just getting money back. Does that make sense? So giving, you got it, puts me in covenant with God. And when I'm in covenant with God, God's going to give me the wisdom I need, inspired ideas I need. He's going to give me whatever I need. And notice he says, and pour you out. So there's several things that happen as it relates to my, he rebukes the devourer for my name's sake. You got it? You know, he pushes back the hand of the enemy. You got it? He shuts the mouth of the gangsayer, those that are lying on me. And you got to understand the power of your giving, right? So he says, and pour you out a blessing. Notice it didn't say blessings. Blessing singular is different from blessings plural. Blessing singular is the anointing to prosper, and it is the blessing that will bring all the blessings that you'll ever want in your life. So it is the anointing to prosper in your life. Amen. All right. And there should not be room enough to receive it. Sometimes people say, well, Pastor, where do you get, you know, saying we believe for overflow? If there's not enough room to receive it, that's overflow. Amen. Does that make sense? Amen. So in God's economy, he does not add, but he multiplies. All right? In God's economy, he does not add, but he multiplies. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, now may he, talking about God, I want y'all to really catch this with me, all right? Now he, God, who supplies seed to who? All right, point to yourself, say, that's me, because you're a sower, you're a giver, right? Even if you ain't gave a dime up to this day, I'm declaring in your life that you're going to start giving and you're going to see it work in your life, all right? So you're the sower, right? And bread for food, supply and, that's good class, the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So everything we receive from God falls under two categories, all right? Whether you know this or not, everything you receive from God falls under two categories. Number one, seed to the sower. Number two, bread for food. Seed to the sower has to do resources meant for us to sow and to give, all right? Bread for food has to do with resources meant for our personal provision in our lives. So when God gives us, you got it, he gives us some to give, but he also gives us some to keep so we can take care of ourselves, right? And then put some away in savings or your 401k or your Roth IRA or, you know, any of those kind of things, you know, for later. And so you have to understand, you know, the difference between the two. You got it. You need to know the difference between your seed, right, and your bread. Now, we understand from a tithing standpoint of view, really tithes and offerings in the book of Malachi at the beginning. He says, you have robbed me. You got it. And he says, you say, how have you robbed me? He says, in tithes and in offerings. So we know that tithe means tenth, right? And it is the first part, and we're supposed to bring it to the Lord. It is the first, and we're supposed to bring the first. During this 3 weeks, I'm considering teaching a lesson just on the tithe because so many people go crazy. It was under the law. You're right, but it was also before the law, and it was also after the law. And if you understand the giving of the first, it's one of the first things they did in the book of Genesis. That's why two brothers went after each other, and one got mad at the other because God honored the one because he gave the first. He didn't honor the others because he didn't give the first. He gave the leftovers. Watch this. And God didn't like it to the degree it made the guy so mad that he killed his brother. Y'all know who I'm talking about, right? All right. So, but we'll talk about that. Say maybe next week. All right. So watch this though. So he gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So not everything God puts in your hand is bread. Some of it is seed. So if God blesses you with $2,000 this week and you keep the whole $2,000, I mean, that's on you. That's between you and God. But according to the word of God, you should not keep all that. Right. So if you eat your seed, you eliminate your harvest. And God does not multiply what you keep. He multiplies what you release. Multiplication happens after, everybody say after, after something has been given or released. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes were multiplied after it was given. The widow of 1 Kings supply, her supply was multiplied after she gave first. Isaac was multiplied in the during that famine after he first sowed in the land. So God does not multiply what you keep. He multiplies what you release. All right. So now we've established the blessing principle. And now I want to jump into my points. How many points you think I have for you today? You already know, Pastor's got 3 simple points to help us understand what it takes to operate this principle to see it work in our lives, all right? So let's jump right into it. Everybody say number one. Number one, the first thing you need is conviction. That at the end of the day, you know, when it comes to the word of God, you have to have a conviction, no matter if it's giving, no matter if it's living holy, no matter if it's walking in integrity, no matter if it's husbands and wives honoring each other, at the end of the day, the only way you're going to do what the word of God teaches you to do is if you have a conviction in your heart that this is God's word, it's the final authority in my life, I'm going to keep it higher than everything else in my life, watch this, and when I have a conviction to honor God's word, I'm honoring God. Does that make sense? So, you have to have a conviction, all right? You know, and this is easy for me to teach because Lady LaCante and myself, we have been givers basically all of our lives. Thank God we grew up in households where our parents taught us to tithe when we were 8. You understand? If we got $10 for our birthday, we was given $1 to the Lord in tithe and at least 50 cents as an offering. You understand what I'm saying? And so thank God for that. And when we got together, you know, we've always given. You know, we were married when we were 21. We didn't first start pastoring until we were 30 years old. We've always been givers. And because we've always been givers, God has blessed us immensely. You got it? He's blessed us immensely. We always have because we always give. You got it? I want you to start declaring that, all right? Say, I always have because I always give. Okay, now giving, here is where I'm going to teach you something that maybe you've never heard it quite like this, but I want you to stay with me. Giving is a matter of the heart, all right? And grateful people are generous givers, all right? Grateful people are what? Generous givers. Hands down, people that are givers are grateful. There's no doubt about that. And the best thing that you could ever do in your life is develop a generous heart. I want to show you one of the best ways to develop a generous heart, all right? Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 1 through 9. You have probably never heard this scripture taught in a giving lesson, but I'm going to show you one way that we should develop a generous heart. Ephesians 2 and 1, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he is he's actually starting to talk about their past a little bit. And how many know we really don't like people to talk about our past? Like, we really rather have you stay away from our past, right? And I get it. But just watch why the Apostle Paul does it. He says in verse 1, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of what class? Disobedience." He says, "Among whom also we all once," thank God, once meaning past tense, "conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." All right? That's the life we once lived. Okay? Everybody say, not anymore, not anymore. All right, verse 4. "But God, who is rich in what?"
Mercy.
Man, right? Just before we go any further, just give the Lord a hand praise because he's rich in mercy. I can really stop right there and just tell you to think about your life and some mess that you've ever been in and some mistakes that you've made and how even after we made a mess of our lives, God pulled us out and put us to where we are right now. Woo! Jesus. He says, "Who is rich in mercy because of his great love." Let me break this down. He's rich in mercy because of his great love. How many of us have ever, who have children, have ever had some kids that, our kids messed up? All of us, because kids mess up. How do I know? We were kids and we messed up, right? But watch this. Even when your kid messed up, some kind of way, even if you weren't happy with him in that moment, that feeling eventually left and you stayed the same loving mama or loving daddy and you still kept giving to them and helping them. Why? Because you were rich in mercy to your kid because of your great love to them. Well, this is what the writer is teaching us, that God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were all messed up, dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together. Where, class? So I messed up. God sent his only son Jesus to get me unmessed up. So I haven't done anything to deserve this. And this is, I'm going to take you and sit you with Jesus in heavenly places. My goodness. All right. Look at your neighbor and say, "I hope you're getting this. I hope you're getting this. I hope you're getting it." Okay. All right. So, whoo, this is good. This is good, but I gotta slow it down. Watch this. Verse 7. "That in the ages to come," all right, somebody say, we here. "He might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." Has God been good to anybody? Well, we are right in that situation right now. All right. All right, verse 8, "For by
grace
you have been
faith,
through
faith,
and not of
yourself."
He says, "It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The thing I love about grace is you can't do anything good enough to deserve it, but you can't do anything bad enough to get rid of it. That's what makes it grace. You got it? And so Paul here is reminding us of our past. Watch this. Not to get us upset, not to get us emotional because of, you know, but only to emphasize that God is rich in mercy and he is a God of great grace. How many in the room would agree that he has brought us from a mighty long way? Like if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, there's no telling where we would be because he has forgiven us. He has restored us. He has redeemed us. He has saved us. You got it? And so this the reason I read Ephesians 2 verses 1 through 9 is because I'm talking about how to develop a heart of generosity. And I've seen it taught several ways and no way is bad. What did I say? But sometimes, and I get why preachers and pastors do it and teachers of the Word of God are trying to get them, you know, to show them, you know, this is why you should develop a heart of generosity and those kind of things. But what better way to develop a heart of generosity to see that I was in a mess, I couldn't do anything for myself, and God, who is rich in mercy and a God of great grace, that while I was dead in my trespasses, while I was out there smoking the herb, at the club, dropping it like it's hot. You got it. Pastor, do you know what that is? No, I just heard somebody say it. But anyway, y'all know I'm a church boy. You got it. Right? So, you know, that's why, you know, I don't say much of that slang. Because one time, ladies like, babe, you shouldn't have said that. Well, to the pure, all things are pure. I grew up in church, always been in church. I only been in the club one time. Pastor, you was in the club. I sure was. Why? Because one of my Marines, I got a call in the middle of the night that he was drunk at the club fighting, so I had to go to the club to get him so he wouldn't get in trouble. You got it? You know, I didn't know what was going on. It was all dark and strobe lights and, you know, almost got a contact. But anyways, just. But this alone should cause us to develop a grateful, generous heart when we think about where we were and where God has brought us. Does that make sense? Why would we give to a God who has given us so much and set in motion that when we give to him, watch this, he multiplies it and gives it right back to us because he really doesn't want our money. He just wants our heart because where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. That's a good place to clap right there. Lady and I are very generous. Extremely generous givers. Now, I don't say that, to be puffed up. I don't need you to clap for me or anything like that. But I just believe that leaders lead from the front. And I shouldn't teach you to be generous if I'm not very generous. I shouldn't teach you to give if I'm not a giver. Does that make sense? We personally, you got it. Now, the church has done some things, you know, and that's good, and the church always will. But I'm talking about just me and lady personally with our own money. We have given away cars, several cars. We've given away brand new cars, used cars. Even the used cars were really good cars, right? We've helped several kids go to college. We paid several people's house notes. I was preaching for my pastor some time ago, and somebody came up to me and said, you know, Pastor Matt, you and Lady LeConte have always been a blessing. Like, and they said, the thing that's a blessing is we see what you're doing, and you're the same person when you were just here serving our pastor as an armor bearer than you are now as a senior pastor. He said, and do you remember what you did for my wife and I? And I said, no, because see, anytime Lady and I do something, well, you don't owe us anything, so it's not something we remember. I just need God to remember. Does that make sense? Yeah, I don't know. So I don't take that the wrong way, you know, because you're important, but I don't remember what I did for it because I don't do it for that. God doesn't keep score. Why should we keep score? Does that make sense? And so he says, my wife and I, we bought a house and we were able to use our VA eligibility, so they were able to get in the house. All my veterans know, thank God for that VA mortgage. Praise the Lord. You can get in there with no money down. You got it. And if you work it right, get a couple hundred, a couple thousand back on the flip side. You understand? And so he said, but we did everything we could just to get into it. He said, and do you know, just one Sunday, you very casually just came up and said, hey, just go pick out, you know, a living room set, a bedroom set, a dining room set, and something else. And once we pick it out, you pay for all, you know. And I said, well, you know, praise the Lord. And I think he was just kind of like so excited, but then shocked that I wasn't excited. And it wasn't that I wasn't excited, you understand? But I understand the principle of giving, and that, watch this, that God raises us up to be a blessing. You got it. And that's why I'm saying, God, make me the man, you got it, that you're flowing through. And, you know, and sometimes people wonder why. Pastor Lee, always, but we can't go out to eat with them. They won't pay. If, you know, just this and that and the other, you know, and that's not a pride thing. Okay. Let me actually just help you with that. Because a lot of times when, you know, we go out to eat or if we're somewhere or someone sees us for dinner, we'll pay for them. They're trying to pay for us. No, no, we got you. Because see, years ago, everybody say years ago. I was a young, at that time, I don't know, I was a young Marine, and you know, Lady and I had just got married, and Pastor Taylor would take us out every single Sunday to eat, every single Sunday, right? And it was not us, it was us and, you know, her sisters and, you know, some of their husbands, and he always paid for it every single Sunday. Now, the thing is, he just got it on one ticket. You got it. So, you know, even if I wanted to bless him the way he did it, he got it on one ticket. I couldn't afford the whole ticket. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It was 8, 10 people. And he did it like that. And I always said in my heart, and I was always very thankful. You could call him today. He would tell him, no, Mac has always thanked me for anything. He's very, you know, appreciative. But I use that as a faith thing for me that, I got 3 minutes left, and that's all we got in our lesson. Somebody done messed with the clock. I'm telling you, somebody done. Okay, we about to have pressure. But it's a clock demon in the house. That's what my grandmother would say. She's in heaven, God rest her soul. But she said it's a clock demon. But anyways, y'all getting something out of this? That's all that matters, all right? That's all that matters, all right? So watch this. But I said, Lord, I thank you for raising me up to the point where I can always sit at a dinner table, no matter where it is, no matter how expensive the restaurant is, if it's $80 or $800, right? And I'll always be able to take care of the ticket. Why? I did it out of gratitude for what once was done for me years ago. So when I pay, never take it the wrong way. I'm pastor not trying to be the man because I got $80 and I can pay for lunch. It ain't got nothing to do with that. It's that I've never forgot where I've come from. And because I've never forgot where I've come from, I promised God that I would always do that. I said, Lord, every time I go to the table, you understand what I'm saying? You got it? That if I have the ability, I'm always going to have the heart to pay. Does that make sense? Yeah. And that's what you have to learn to do in life, that you know, make covenants with God. Like, Father, I thank you for raising me up. There's a few things that I said that I would do, you know, if God raised me up, and I've kept my end of the deal as it relates to the things that I promised God that I would do, you know, when he'd raised me up. All right. So we got to point number one, and it's a minute and 19 seconds left. All right. So, but that was real. That was some good teaching right there. That was some good teaching. Okay, so it's early. It's 10:14. So can I add 3 minutes to the clock? So I have 4 minutes because I got a minute left. So I'm going to give you everything else in a phrase called if you had time. Everybody say if you had time. All right, just look at your name and say you're going to enjoy this. Okay, all right. Now, one more time, say if you had time. If I had time, I would take you to point number two, which is courage, and teach you that giving is a matter of the heart, that God's word will never return to us void, that the word will work if I work the word. If I had time, I would take you to 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 8. We read part of it, but we didn't read verse 7, where it says, let each one give his made up his own mind and purpose in his own heart, not reluctantly, not sorrowfully, or under compulsion. We actually talked about that when I come and I give, I have to give out of the right heart, and you can do that here without limits because nobody's going to push you to do anything. You could come to this church, watch this, and Lady LaCante, myself, and everybody, we're going to love you regardless. Like, because we love you because we see you through the eyes of eternity. We don't see people as dollar signs, you got it? Now, three things I think every member should do here at Without Limits. I think you should pray, I think you should serve, and I think you should give. Is that fair? Yeah, I think you should pray. Everybody say pray. Say serve and give. Right. But if you don't do any of those things, that's not going to change how we are to you, because we're not doing something to you based on what you do. We're treating you based on who he is. And watch this. And you are his children. And that's what makes you vitally important, because you've been paid you've been bought with a precious price. You got it. So you have a lot of value. So your value isn't in the fact that you serve, but you should serve because God has been so good to you. Your value isn't in the fact that you give, but you should give because God has blessed you and you should return. Does that make sense? All right. So, but if he had time, he would talk to you about how giving positions you for amazing life. Oh, I got 1 minute and I'm getting to point number three. Point number three is consistency. That giving is a matter of obeying God, not on some days, but every day. It is the consistency of our sowing that brings us to a no-need state. Can I give you my last scripture? Court, play so they'll know we're going home. Ecclesiastes 11:6. Ecclesiastes 11:6. All right. I need your help with this, class. Is it up on the screen? Y'all see it? Okay. It says, in the morning, do what? That's good. He says, and in the evening, do not what? He says, for you don't know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether they both be alike. And according to Mark 11, it tells us don't try to figure that stuff out, that when I sow the seed, I go through my natural progression. I go to bed and I get up. I go to bed and I get up. But watch what he says. But years ago, I could not understand the scripture. I'm just going to be real honest with you. Years ago, I was like, Lord, I don't get it. Like, I don't fully get it. And then one day, you know, I would listen to preachers preach it. I couldn't understand it. And one day, man, God, he just, the Holy Spirit was, it was like, revelation was just there and I got it. And it's really simple. And it might sound simple to you, but in my estimation, this is the best way to explain Ecclesiastes 11:6. In the morning, sow your seed. Everybody say, start sowing. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand. Everybody say, keep sowing. He says, for you don't know which will prosper, either that, this or that, or whether they both will be good. Now, number three, everybody say, trust God with the harvest. Ecclesiastes 11:6 tells us, I got to just start sowing. And if you're not a giver today, just make a decision, man, I'm going to just start doing it God's way. Watch this. So I'm going to start sowing, but even if it gets tough or something gets funny, watch this, I'm going to keep sowing. And then after that, it's not about which seed is this. No, I'm just going to trust God with the harvest. That no matter what it looks like, I believe God that when I release what's in my hand, he releases what's in his. And his hands are bigger than mine. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand praise in the building. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. If you're in this room and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I don't want to leave without giving you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us, in Romans 10:9, if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. That word repent is really an easy word. It's not a hard word. That word repent literally is translated as a change of mind and a change of direction. And so maybe you're in the room online and you need to change your mind and change your direction. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. I want you to know God's not mad at you. God's not upset with you. God's not angry with you. And don't listen to people who talk like that. Maybe you're in the room online and you're just a Christian and you just need to repent about some things. And let the secret out. All Christians have to repent about things from time to time. Because repentance doesn't put us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line. So if you fall under any of those categories, and even if you don't, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you. A holy God, I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil word. Tell him you have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Now say this. Say, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise? Are you glad you came to church at 9:00 in the morning?